Hello, everyone, and welcome to the OfSec Podcast. I'm your host, TJ Nall, and I'm the Community Manager for Offensive Security. For our episode, we welcome Darkstar7471, aka Dark, as our recent community moderator to the OfSec community. Now, Dark is currently a lead pen tester at State Farm Insurance, but some of you may know him from his content that he's done with TryHackMe. Recently now, he's joined our team, and I wanted to bring him on for this episode to share some tips and guidance to you all regarding his journey in becoming a pen tester. Dark, it is my pleasure to have you here as our guest speaker. Welcome to the OfSec Podcast.
Hey, TJ. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast.
Awesome. I'm really excited to hear about that. So before we get started, for our listeners, would you be able to give some information about your background and also just a little bit about yourself before you joined on as a mod for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So prior to getting involved with offensive security, I was the content director and community manager for TryHackMe. With that, so the community manager side of things, I was responsible for the Discord, for the subreddit, and really any parts of the community. For a little while, that included the forum, but that position really entailed focusing on the culture of the community, trying to make sure that it was welcoming, trying to make sure that it was educational, and really push people to want to learn. Because, you know, at the end of the day, doing hacking stuff, learning that outside of on your own personal time, you're doing optional homework. So kind of interesting just with that position. But outside of that, I also worked on the content. I was the content director and I would control the room releases. For the longest time, I was also doing reviews of the content that was coming out, establishing standards, things like that. Outside of my work with TryHackMe, I am the lead of the pen test team for State Farm Insurance. And I've been there for a couple years now. But yeah, really enjoying the role.
That's awesome to hear that. So it sounds like you really have had a long journey going through, you know, going from content to stuff that you were getting into right now, being a pen tester for State Farm. But I guess my big question that, you know, kind of strikes me is like, what piqued your interest in joining the information security field?
So buckle up. This is a bit of a journey from how I went from being a materials engineer to where I'm at right now. So when I originally started going to college, I started at Iowa State and I thought, okay, I really want to do chemistry. I really wanted to be in a lab. And I actually decided upon being a materials engineer. I think like chemist, but for steels, polymers, and ceramics, really trying to focus on like the composition of those different metals and, you know, trying to make them fit different applications, because you'd have different things for like, you know, space shuttle panels versus like polymers that you would use for daily use. I really just didn't find that was what I enjoyed. And eventually I realized, hey, I'm running a computer repair business on the side. I was repairing other students' laptops, just saying, hey, $20, bring me your computer. I'll go and fix it, remove viruses, things like that. Just doing general cleaning. And usually that entailed a lot of removing browser extensions and toolbars. Mm-hmm. But I realized, well, I'm doing all this computer stuff on my own time, and it's clearly what I want to do. And it really found that materials engineering wasn't right for me. So I dropped out, or I changed majors rather, to be a physics and computer engineering double major, which really was my first mistake taking on physics with that too.
I bet.
Yeah, it was involved. Mm-hmm. I laugh now, but it was taken on a lot. And I really didn't find ultimately what I was looking for. I thought computer engineering was really going to be it. I was involved with doing like DIY audio design and radio design at the time, just because that all really interested me. Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't the right angle. You know how hacking is really, it's a different approach and a really different side of computer technology. Mm-hmm. But at the time I was trying to launch a startup called Flyer. The original idea with that was, hey, let's give people a way to find things that they want to be involved with. It didn't necessarily pan out like most startups, you know, it failed. That's just something that happens. I think it's what the statistics, like 1 in 3 startups fails, but I learned a lot from it. And one of the nights when I was working on that, I was hanging out with one of my friends. And he had brought up a chat window and said, oh yeah, this is, I think it was an anonymous IRC chat. And It really did a couple things for me. It made me realize, wait, this is really interesting. I wonder if there's any way I can actually like get involved with this. Mm-hmm. I had seen like cyber defense competitions. I'm sure you've seen them too, that, you know, they can be intimidating, especially looking from the outside in. And it can be hard if you don't have someone that's there, that's willing to kind of give you that on-ramp to be able to kind of be invited in.
Yeah. That mentor aspect.
Exactly. And it was, I didn't necessarily know what I was getting into. I guess I was too timid at the time to really put myself out there and say, hey, I'm really interested in getting involved with this. Mm-hmm. So didn't get involved with it at the time. But after seeing that, who knows what chat it actually was. But it really made me realize, hey, this is, I think, what I really want to do. And it just wasn't what I was doing at the time. So I dropped out of Iowa State and went to community college. I switched over to get my associate degree in computer support systems. It's actually network and system administration was the degree that I ended up going with, because I figured, okay, I want to do computer support things. I really like doing system administrator work. I think at that time I had already made an ass and had been messing around with Unraid on my own personal network.
I remember using Unraid for my home lab stuff. That stuff was the greatest.
Oh gosh. It's, you know, the funny thing is that's actually done it, that really recommend taking a look into that. The community for Unraid has grown immensely and it's really matured in recent years, but it's a really good opportunity. If anyone's listening that is looking for a starter IT project, making an ass is it's really valuable and you'll find you'll use it all the time. Mm-hmm. But got involved with that. And I eventually found that there was a cyber defense club, got involved with that and found out that I was fortunate enough to have some local cyber groups in Iowa, besides or SecIC rather, Sec Midwest, and then we also had Sec KC and Sec Des Moines, or Sec DSM in the area. But I went to Sec Iowa City, got involved, and eventually they had a segment that was called Jobs, where any places in the area, they would say, hey, we have opportunities that are open, because that was really where all the InfoSec professionals were at. Mm-hmm. So we would talk about jobs in that place. Eventually, a guy named Zach Zaffis said, hey, he mentioned that there were some internships to open up at an offensive firm. And I said, hey, I'm a little too green for this, but what would you recommend me setting out as like goals for myself? What do you expect people to know going into this position? I went up and talked to him at the break, asking him this, trying to kind of give myself something to work towards, because I figured, okay, really want to be involved with this, but I didn't really know how to set goals for myself at the time, or really know a path forward, because I had a cyber defense club, but I had no way to actually connect that with a job. Mm-hmm. And got involved there, and kind of the rest is history. Just got involved. And I think that really getting involved with the community at large was the big thing that really helped guide me. And anyone that's getting involved with like the Discord, that's one of the best things you can do. Mm-hmm.
So I guess from all the stuff you've gone through, right, you transferred over through a couple degrees, right? Different career paths. You know, you were really big involved into a lot of the club program activities that you had there. And then, you know, falling into the offensive side, you know, why did you choose that side or that area aspect in cybersecurity?
It's cool. If I'm being honest, what we do is cool.
I can't disagree with that.
That was really it. I love what I do. And it's one of those things where I'm a really firm believer in that you really got to enjoy what you're doing for your day-to-day job. Otherwise, it just becomes a slog. Yeah. And that was it for me. I really enjoyed it. And with how our field changes every day, I guess, I started off as actually a split asset between defense and offense, which was really great for me, because I was able to be a SOC operator, but we weren't a big enough firm to have enough people for both the SOC and also for working on the offensive team. So I would pick up like doing vulnerability assessments, really not really crazy, assessments, but they were good for me as someone that was starting off and trying to learn all this.
Yeah,
that it was really cool, and it really captured my attention, seeing that, hey, we could have a 0 day dropped on us out of the sky, and guess what? That's my day for the rest of the day, and it's really exciting.
Awesome. So as you were transitioning into cybersecurity, right, you know, focusing on the offensive path, I noticed that you obtained your OSCP a few years ago. What made you decide that you wanted to get, you know, the OSCP?
So that I really like that question because it's really interesting, you know, what drives people to get their OSCP. And for me, I had seen people mention it. I didn't know what it was originally when I was getting involved with CitySex, just because I heard people mention it. I heard people mention other certifications from like EC Council, things like that. But I heard the OSCP stick out the most. And the way I had it painted for me, and this is something that I feel is a very accurate picture of the certification, is that it really gets you to, gives you a core skill set and really helps you have that solid foundation rather than, it's very easy when you're learning InfoSec, just either offense, defense, or otherwise, to have a bunch of disconnected ideas. And that's one of the nice things with having a certification tied along to it, is that it makes it so you've kind of, you're able to put kind of a bundle or tie a knot on it, so to speak.
Gotcha.
And that was, it was really, I saw it as the next step for growing. And I've seen a lot of places. One of the things I really like to do is when I'm looking for a place that I want to work at, I'll look at job descriptions because it kind of gives me an idea of what do they want. And I use it to set my goals.
Gotcha.
And the OSCP was just one of those items.
Mm-hmm. So during your journey, as you were going through the course material, the exercises in the lab, did you feel like you had any challenges that you had to face or overcome when you were going through the course?
It pains me to admit it now, but I could not understand buffer overflow for the life of me at the start. It was terrible. I would run the commands and I would get things wrong, and I was copy pasting commands out of my notes that I couldn't figure out what was happening. And it was just like, it was a little overwhelming. It's buffer overflow was a lot being thrown at me, and visually there's just a lot going on. Especially if you're not used to using a debugger. So it took a lot of practice with that. And then the other big thing for me was pattern recognition with the boxes and the VMs in the labs, just because as much as they're all very unique, there you can kind of get this pattern built up of this is what the stages are in the assessment. Once you have that internalized, I think that really helped me.
Yeah, because then you like take all the patterns that you looked at, all the different scenarios that the boxes are playing together, and you kind of add that into your arsenal of, you know, what do you look for, right? And some of the stuff that you see, like maybe like we can go with like specific applications, right? You know that there's things you want to test because you've seen it before on other systems that you've gone through and you've gotten your shell access from, right? Or you've escalated your privileges straight to that box, right? Or, you know, the other thing, right, is some users who create the boxes, right, will leave, you know, that specific program or service running with root or administrative privileges. So since, you know, you went through the course, right, you got your OSCP and you've been certified, has the knowledge and experience that you've gotten from the course helped you in your career that you have now?
I think so. It's something that, very fortunate with the my team, it's something that we really use it as like kind of a gold standard for, like, this is the baseline that you want to be at. With moving, when you're learning and going forwards, it's something that I've found has been really helpful for almost having branching notes off of it. So I can take my what I've learned with the OSCP and I can start considering these are the other areas. And it almost gives you those that problem solving skill set to be able to approach those other areas. That's something that's really helped me. It's really almost to capture that idea of what is a rabbit hole and knowing how to identify it. That was something that's really helped me too.
Gotcha. So, you know, moving on from your career where you are now, right, and getting your OCP, what are some projects that you focus on now, you know, that are relevant to pen testing?
In a general sense, I do a fair amount of teaching. That's just something I really enjoy. But one of the big projects I've been working on is notes. This is something that is an extension off of work that TrustedSec has done, but working on examining consistency and how do you take good notes in InfoSec. But it's something that's really interested me. If anyone's really interested in that work, TrustedSec has an article on Obsidian. It's taming collective knowledge. I believe it's something along those lines, that's something I'm working with. But how do you take notes effectively as a team, as a group? And where can you best implement that? Just something that's really fascinated me. Outside of that, I've been working on a pen test framework. This is something that's still got quite a ways to grow, but its code name is just Arcade. Kind of focusing in, again, on that idea of consistency, where within pen testing, we have burnable environments, but being able to take tools and have those burnable environments be readily available, but have those tools in Docker containers and kind of experimenting with that for being able to make runbooks or playbooks rather within that framework and use it to capture ideas and capture things that need to be investigated. I know I went a little bit all over the place, but really the idea there is being able to execute pen tests consistently.
Interesting. That's definitely an interesting framework that I'm definitely interested in looking forward to see what you have come up with. That Notes are definitely a powerful project that I feel like everybody should really have some type of project that they're doing with, you know, trying to put everything together with what they have.
And yeah, I know someone listening to this probably just grinned thinking, ah, oh, shoot, I should probably get on that.
I mean, it's like my Joplin pen test template. I've been, you know, curating that for years, and that has all my stuff that I do that I did in the PWK, what I've done for the OCP, and then, you know, what I do in my assessments now. I know there's some concepts that I haven't been able to share publicly, but having, you know, an area where you keep all your notes, you know, and all the stuff that you find and you see and identify, right? You can always come back to that, you know, as like your little personal library is the way I look at it.
It's exactly that. It's having that library and being able to reference it, that it, especially for those of listening to the podcast that might be considering, you know, taking the OSCP soon, having those notes and just having that basis there, it's something you can build on. You can always go through and reorganize your notes, but just taking it in the first place. There's a saying that I really like from when we're doing pen tests at my workplace. If you didn't write it down, it didn't happen. And That's how I feel a lot about notes. I'm sure, TJ, you probably feel very much the same about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So moving on from, you know, the projects that you have going on, do you have a favorite tool that you like to use on your engagements or assessments?
This is going to sound really cheesy, but my teammates. And it's mostly because I know.
I mean, I was expecting like a tool that you use in Cali that's like your go-to. But I'm very interested to know more, right? You know, why your teammates, right?
I try not to really stick to specific tools just because there's so much interchangeability. And that's something that is really a rabbit hole that I've been going down is, you know, looking at those tools and how can we keep track of, there's all these tools in pen testing. It's very hard to keep track of what's the best at doing a specific thing just because it's such a broad field.
Right.
But for me, the reason I answer with my teammates is, I think that it's a lot of people don't realize that your teammates are there to help you. And it's very easy when you're doing a pen test to go down and just be, you know, face to the keyboard, good old white knuckle hacking on the terminal. You know, the stereotypical things you see in movies all the time. That's exactly how we like to see ourselves as hackers, right?
Yeah, no, I can see that.
But I think it's hard for a lot of people to admit when they don't necessarily know something or might not be familiar. There's a lot of this urge in InfoSec to kind of appear bigger than you are. And it's almost like a humbling thing to remember, hey, you have a team. Even if you are not, if you're doing bug bounty work, you can still have a team with that. You can have your quote unquote hacking clan, which is really, really important idea.
It's the first time I've ever heard anybody ever use the term hacking clan. The first thing that comes to my mind, I think of a clan. I'm thinking of like, you know, the old video game, a Clash of Clans, right, on mobile. And like, you know, you have all your best friends that used to play in like high school and college, all in that clan, building up your towers and armies. But having a hacker clan, that's the first time I've ever heard that term. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but oh, no, I just wanted good. To like bring that up.
But even then, it's like having that idea of you want to have this group of people that can challenge you. And I'm sure it's something you've seen in your own hacking that yeah. If you have other people you're working with, you can kind of egg each other on, and it really does work to, you know, there's nothing, there's no motivation like beating your friends.
Oh, I can agree with that. I mean, on my team that I'm on now, that I have a pen tester that's been around this field for years. And there's sometimes where I am testing out new tools and I'm testing out new techniques, and you know, he's never knew those techniques. And then I will bounce my ideas off of him to share. And then he will share me stuff that he knows that he can get into. Like even like old, like equipment that I have never seen before. Like I don't touch Sun Microsystems. I don't touch Solaris boxes. And yet those are still running around in the environments we assess. And so I will run through stuff with him and he'll show me. And then I will be going through old technology, like on Dell, like IPMI stuff. And I'll show him how to do that. And he's like, I never would actually thought of looking at that even from a UDP perspective. I'm like, yeah, it's an easy remote back door that you can easily take over. So, but no, I agree with your point though. I think Your teammates can really be a good tool, right? They can be able to provide you techniques, advice, ideas, especially with what you're trying to use as well too during your engagement.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those things that if you're ever in a really, it's even if you're not necessarily at a dead end, just asking randomly and saying, hey, this is where I'm at, and doing a sanity check, running it by your teammates can be so helpful to really know if you need to chase something else down.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, moving on about having like your favorite tool, if you have any advice for a person, you know, who's working to become a pen tester, what would that advice be?
So I think my favorite advice to give for this is recognize when you have safe opportunities to mess up. And that may sound a little weird, but it's when you have a space that you can learn and you are okay to mess up in, that is invaluable. And being able to recognize that, it kind of opens up your thoughts, you know, your thought process to think that, okay, it's okay to mess up here. That means I can ask questions. And being having that present in your mind, and recognizing when you are in have that opportunity or in the middle of an opportunity that you can mess up, that gives you kind of this power. It's almost more liberating, because a lot of people would freeze up in that situation. A lot of people might, you know, feel under pressure, but it's almost a way to kind of diffuse it for yourself. Also, take notes. Pen testing is broad. Take notes. If you haven't already heard me say it enough during this recording, take notes.
Yeah, take notes. Have like a small wiki as well too with everything that you're going through. Those are things that are really going to be important to have. But also, you know, making mistakes on things, right? Or trying new things that you don't expect that may work or may not work, right? You know, having that environment or that space to be able to practice that stuff is really going to help you understand a lot of the technology that's out there in the real world. I mean, I could tell you how many times I have locked out so many user accounts, not by on accident, but just because I decided, oh yeah, let me go ahead and brute force all these accounts right now and see if I can get in, and realize that, oh yeah, they have account lockout policies set and those accounts that they need to get into are gone. Or, you know, I had one pen test as an example where they had a policy set that if anybody got in the system, they would wipe all the permissions that they would have for domain admin. But the script that they wrote actually locked out their domain admin access as well.
No.
So it was funny to see that. And they're like, did you do this? Did you touch this? I'm like, I didn't touch this, but I got access into the system if you need to get, you know, your domain admin access back. But, you know, the stuff that like sysadmins and other like people who build like this type of stuff, right? They try to build these like preventative measures, and yet sometimes they could fail, you know, or I say counteract, right, at what they're trying to do. And that's just something, you know, you got to keep in mind while having a practical environment to test this stuff.
You know, that's one of the things that it becomes really hard to, when you're making content, it becomes really hard to walk the line versus what's realistic versus what's not realistic, because you see things like this and some of the crazy things. I guarantee you, if you've seen it on a CTF, unless it's like super really far flung, someone's probably done it in a production environment. And that's not an understatement. It's probably very true.
Yeah, I get that. So I got one final question I want to ask you, Adark, and that is, outside of InfoSec, are there any hobbies or things you like to do?
Oh, that's a tough question. I've been really getting into prop restoration and prop making. Like, I'll buy broken props off of, I really like to go find broken ones on eBay or Craigslist. Like, I have a gravity gun that I'm working on from Half-Life, where that it has, I think, a couple broken joints that I was able to get it for very, very little, and just repairing those, making them look in universe. That's something that I really enjoy. I've been trying to push myself to draw more, but that's a John problem there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, gaming, you know, like pretty much anyone in InfoSec is going to answer. Finally playing through Half-Life. I've realized, yeah, I managed to play through the Horizon games on PlayStation. Amazing games if you've never played them. I did not think I was going to get into them, but the story is so well written that it's just made me realize I need to play through my backlog.
So out of all the games you played right now, you say Half-Life and BioShock are probably your favorite games.
Those are the big ones that I'm playing, but I would say, yeah, it's, I know I'm going to sound, this is terrible to say, I've never actually played the Half-Life games, and I've been told that they're right up your alley, John. You will love them. And so far they've been great. It's been wonderful. It's just perfect sci-fi. I've been watching a lot of sci-fi stuff recently. The show, have you seen Severance? Oh my gosh. It has Adam Scott from Parks and Rec. He plays Ben in Parks and Rec. It's on Apple TV, but it is a show about people that turn off, they switch consciousnesses, oh my goodness, when they go to work. Really, really cool. Just really intense sci-fi stuff like that. I've been really enjoying this stuff that it's like, that could be real in the future. But yeah, no, really, really good stuff. A lot of psychological thrillers.
Awesome. That's really cool. I'm glad you have some hobbies that you like to do outside of InfoSec, and especially, like, you know, prop making is something I've never heard people really like to do as a hobby, but I think that's really cool that you're interested in getting into that. So Dark, since I'm out of questions, really, do you have any final comments, thoughts you want to be able to give to listeners, any advice?
I guess quick piece of advice, just don't be afraid. You know, if you're feeling beaten down on something, don't be afraid to give it another try. Always make sure that, you know, try to go to something and come back to it. It's all about persistence. But yeah, no, thank you so much, DJ, for having me on the podcast. It's really been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And for listeners that want to find you, reach out to you, do you have a Discord handle, Twitter? What's the best place that they can be able to connect with you?
On Twitter, that's probably the best place to connect with me. I am at darkstar7471. You can see me as all my links are in the OffSec Discord too, if you look at my profile. So probably the easiest way to go through and find me. I'm the profile that is named Dark and has the diode electrical symbol.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Dark. I really do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be here. And for our listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it and were able to gain some value from it. Be sure to check out Offense Security's website for more information, any news or updates, or any new stuff that's coming out regarding the topics or courses that we have going on by going to offensive-security.com.